have someone who will never leave us nor forsake us, even in the times that are most challenging, even in the times that are most painful. We know that he is here with us, and he's good. He's good all the time. Join me in our scriptural affirmation today. It comes from Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And we're going to start at verse 13. I'll read the first and you follow. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb.
I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them.
If I should count them, they are more than the number of the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee.
Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee?
I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Let's pray. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that we can depend on you to be with us this day. We ask that you would make us aware of your presence in a very real way, and that you would speak to each one of us individually and to all of us corporately. We need you and are thankful that you provide yourself for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Are you really free? Are you really free? Do you really get it? No longer a slave to fear. It's amazing the things that we have that we can be afraid of. It's amazing the things in our society that maybe are worth being afraid of at times. But we don't have to be afraid because we have our living, loving Lord. Today is I don't like doing special day sermons. I actually don't like that at all very much. And it's really challenging, but I go back and forth feeling like guilty. I should, you know, step in line and rebellious. I'll make the line. And all kinds of things like that. But it is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And I had to stop and think about that. So I've gone, I must admit, I have gone the spectrum back and forth about what I would do about that today. The scriptures that we have today with this, what struck me is the scripture that we commonly, the things that we commonly pull out to talk about the sanctity of life are really, really, really important. It's really crazy Millions and millions and millions of children are aborted, and we know that, and that there's life in the womb. In fact, we're Southern Baptist, so our SCBO this year, they passed a resolution. Let me read at least a part of this. Whereas the confessional statement of the Southern Baptist, the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, in Article 15, affirms that children from the moment of conception are a blessing and heritage from the Lord, and further affirms that Southern Baptists are mandated by Scripture to speak on behalf of the unborn and contend for the sanctity of all human life from conception to natural death. And whereas the unborn are not second-class image bearers of God, but are from the moment of fertilization full image bearers of God, and we believe that humans are created in God's image by, through, and for Jesus to the glory of God, as Scripture declares that all souls belong to Him, and all humans display objective worth before God, not varying on the basis of incidental characteristics such as ethnicity, age, size, circumstances of conception, mental development, physical development, manhood or womanhood, potential or contribution to society. Whereas the premeditated murder of any preborn image bearer of God is a sin violating both the natural law of retributive justice as set forth in the Noahic covenant, as well as the sixth commandment forbidding murder, and as such is ultimately an assault on God's image, seeking to usurp God's sovereignty as creator. Whereas God establishes all governing authorities and His avenging servants to carry out His wrath on the evildoer and commands these authorities to judge justly, neither showing partiality to the wicked nor using unequal standards, which are abominations to God. Whereas the Supreme Court of the United States attempted to usurp God's sovereignty and His law and rendered an iniquitous decision on Roe versus Wade, resulting in more than 63 million abortions in the United States since that time. Obviously, we are against abortion. Obviously, it's murder. That's obvious. But I'm going to go out on a limb and sod off today. It's not the Supreme Court's fault that 63 million kids were killed. It's our fault. If we would help people come to know the value of human life through bringing them into a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and helping them to not be caught in this world's idolatry, we wouldn't need law. I know. But not everybody's saved. Once again, that's not the Supreme Court's fault. It's not their job to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the Supreme Court's fault. It's not the lost person's fault. It's the one who has the knowledge. We are to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples in our sparsely populated little room today. Why have we not been more effective at sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people would value life, so that life would be protected? We are the ones who are to stand in the gap. Where are our prayers for the foolish young men and women that are caught up in our sect-drenched society, where they are constantly allured to do what seems natural? Where are our values that somehow someone would think a pregnancy is something that is an inconvenience? We're talking about life here, and we value convenience over life? And then we as the church, who has the power of God. What kind of power do we have? What kind of power do we have? We have the same power that's residing in us that raised Christ from the dead. But we want to shortcut it. We want to put the ball in somebody else's court. We ought to be the ones crying out to people to help them to understand. We ought to be the people that are filled with the Spirit of the living God, and no weapon formed against us should prosper, and every tongue that would riseth against us in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the children of the Lord. This is our heritage. We have power we've not yet unlocked. Not to enslave society and make them do whatever it is we want, but to introduce them to the one who they should follow. To introduce them to the one who is great. How did I get here? I don't know. When I started looking at the scripture that had been chosen really months ago for this sermon, we do everything about 3 months ahead of time, and was just beginning to look, and then we use explore the Bible materials, and we were looking at and Ezekiel 16, 23, I believe. 20, I'm sorry. Yeah. Mary knows. And in 16:20. It says, moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter? That thou hast slain my children, and deliver them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and was polluted in thy blood. I I thought about just ditching those scriptures altogether. But let's take a closer look at verse 20 there. It says, moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters. These are children. But it's not just children in the womb. It's all of our children. It's all of our kids. We've sacrificed them. They're being devoured by society. Have we really told them? Have we really helped them to grasp who they are and whose they are and what they are called to be? Have we really gotten it? Have we lived in such a way that we are sold out to stuff rather than to God? Have we chosen maybe to live a life of ease and live a life of comfort over living a life dedicated to God? Have we given ourselves as living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service? And we should not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we might prove was that good and acceptable will of God, that perfect will of God. But I think often we've thought too highly of ourselves. We've thought too much of ourselves, that somehow we've been good little boys and girls and God owes us something. Verse 21, that thou hast slain my children. You know, it's all his. It's all his. Every one of us has been given the privilege of having someone very close to us that we love and care for. And we've spent time with. And for them to die. We've all had that privilege, and we then should recognize the wonder, the amazing thing that God must feel when one of his children meets untimely death. He's God, and he knows, but it's no more pleasant. Thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire. We've sacrificed them. That's what that means, passing through the fire. It means we sacrificed. Verse 22. And in all thine abominations, all this mess we've brought them into, and thy whoredoms. Now, that sounds like a nasty word, and I'm not trying to be weird here. Why does he say that? Why does he use the word whoredoms? He uses that word because we're being unfaithful to him when we don't give ourselves over to him. We're being unfaithful to him when we don't live for him. We're his, and he's jealous for us. When we live in any way that gives anything prominence over his will, his way, his person, his presence, we are committing whoredoms. We're like unfaithful mates. It's sad. And we don't have to be that way. There's no reason for us to be that way. Turn to chapter 23, I believe. Chapter 23, verse 36. Says, the Lord said moreover unto me, son of man, wilt thou judge Ahola and Oholibah? He's talking about Israel and Judah. Yea, declare unto them their abominations. Here are the people of God. They are representatives of God here on the earth. That they have committed adultery. You ever think of yourself as an adulterous person? They have committed adultery and blood is in their hands. Sixty-some million babies, there's blood on our land. But I would say that there's blood even on our hands right here when we don't live in a way that is in line with the truth of the Word of God in any area. When we don't care for the widow, there's blood on our hands. When we don't care for the orphan, there is blood on our hands. When we don't care for those who need to be cared for, there is blood on our hands. When we do not share the gospel of Jesus Christ and someone dies in their sins without having the word of God having been preached to them, we have that blood on our hands. We are supposed to be the people that share. Now, if we share and they refuse, that's on them. But are we even taking note and sharing in love in the very best way that we can find, in a way that demonstrates that we care? There are people hurting. There are people all over that are hurting, and we're supposed to be a salve. We're supposed to get in there and take some of their hurt and heal those hurts and be the kind of people that we're supposed to be. We are the people that teach the truth about who Jesus Christ is. How will they ever know if no one ever speaks to them? We're the people that declare the truth of the Word of God. How will they never ever know if we don't speak? We're the people that are supposed to be healing so that the demonstration of our lives helps people know that there is a God. It is a life and death matter. And yet we don't seem to take it so seriously. We're just another Sunday morning so that we can check off the box. Let me finish with the Psalm 139. And we'll start at verse 13. Because after all this, we need to talk to God. And what we say, God, you have possessed my reins. You know me. You know all about me. You have covered me in my mother's womb. From before I came out of the womb, you had me. I was yours. For I will praise thee. Oh, will you praise him with me today? I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What a crazy thing that is. But bodies of people are intricate beings. I look at all of these wonderful masterpieces sitting next to each other, and they're unique, each and every one of them, and they have value beyond compare. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. I know it. I know it. Do you know today the value of life? Do you know today how important it is? Do you know today that you have the power to share that life? You can make a difference? My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. There's never been a time that God didn't know what was happening with you. On your really, really, really good days, while you shine brightly like the sun, and on your lowest days, when you could barely put one foot in front of the other, he knows you and he's with you and he's here even this day to comfort you and care for you and build you up. He loves us. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned as when as yet there was none of them. Before I didn't exist, you knew me. Before the foundation of the world, you had called me. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. You love me. Why? I don't know. But you've chosen me to love. He has chosen to love you. Even when you're mad at him. Even when it's a good day or a bad day or up day or a down day. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh God, how great the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand when I awake. I'm still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them? Seems like such a strong word, but in compared to my love for God, it's hate. O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved? I am grieved that there are those that rise up against thee, that rise up against thee and murder babies, that rise up against thee and do heinous acts, that rise up against thee and don't live in line with the truth, that rise up against thee and fail to be who they've been called to be. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. But I want to be careful, Lord. Search me. Do you dare say this today and mean it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. You can test me and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, lead me. I can't sort all of this out. I can't get it all right. There are so many things around me that grieve me, and I don't get it. I don't get it when people aren't plugged in the way they should be. I don't get it when people harm others. I don't get it when we harm ourselves. I don't get it when we don't appreciate that you have chosen us. I don't get it. And it grieves me. Help me to know how to live in the midst of all this, even on my confusing days. Search me, oh God, and see, is there any wicked way in me that's taking me on a path that I should not be? Show me how to live. Lead me. Lead me, Lord. And I tell you, if you're asking him that, the first thing is you're saying, let me have a relationship with Jesus. That's being led by God. Today, if you will confess with your mouth that you agree with God about you agree that you're not satisfied with all of the circumstances of this life, if you will agree that you fall short just like every other human being because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you agree with him, he's faithful. And he will take you in. And you know that you know that you know. He can keep you. Just like he's keeping all of those lost babies, he will keep you throughout eternity. Today is your day. The Bible says, cast all of your care upon him because he cares for you. Some of us have carried cares into this room that are way too heavy. Don't take them out. Release them to God today. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us to give ourselves fully and thoroughly to you this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray.